Hi, Dan.
Hi, Jason.
We're back.
Do we ever really go anywhere?
Well, you're going to Seattle for the weekend, which is cool.
I am going to Seattle for the weekend. I'm looking forward to that. It's much nicer out there, I hear.
I was just thinking that I haven't taken one of those kind of unmotivated travel things in a little while. It's always like you go here for a conference and you go here there for a conference or something like that. And it's been a while. Last spring, I came out to the Northeast and I went to New York and Boston. I saw a bunch of people, including you. I slept on your floor for a couple of nights.
You slept on an air mattress on the floor.
On your floor?
Clear. I'm a little nicer than
all
that.
All right. Okay. What I remember from that trip is that a lot of people were saying, like, why are you here? And I think they meant it in a nice way. Like, are you speaking anything? And it turns out I actually did. I ended up, I was planning that trip and a friend of mine was doing a conference and said, well, I'll put you on a panel. And I'm like, sure, that's a reason for me to pick those dates. So I did have an excuse. But it's like, do you need a reason to travel?
So I said that to you every morning when I found you in my office. Still.
Yeah. Why are you still here? And I refuse to answer. So you're going, I assume to see friends and also to go to this Emerald City Comic Con, right?
Mainly to go to Emerald City Comic Con, also to visit with some friends, which will be nice. I was lucky enough to go to Seattle last August on my way to Spokane with you and many of the Incomparable crew for Worldcon, which was a lot of fun.
Mm-hmm.
I'm hoping we manage to get the Incomparable crew together again sometime.
Someday, it would be nice.
Yeah, but Emerald City Comic Con, which I've heard very good things about, is the top of my list. So I'm going to that. I'll be there, let's see, Thursday, Friday, and Sunday, I believe.
Will you be signing?
I will sign anything that people hand to me. I will sign. I don't know what it is. It might be a contract. That would be unfortunate.
Yeah, that would be
unfortunate. Probably read it before signing it. So if you are a subscriber to this podcast, because how else would you really be listening to it? And you will also be there. Feel free to say hi if you see me. I've got some Incomparable stickers that I could give you.
Nice.
So I'm looking forward to that. I hear the weather out there is much better than the weather here. So
that's what I hear. Although, you've had like snow and stuff.
Yeah, it snowed this past week a couple times. I cleaned off my car like 3 times in 2 days.
Welcome to the weathercast, everybody. Yeah, it's going to be in like the 60s and 70s out in Seattle. You're going to have a good time.
That's great. Nice. Yes.
It's all about weather all the time. So what's been going on this week? So I as we record this, I'm about ready to post my iPad 9.7 inch Baby Pro review, which is not the most dramatic thing I've ever written. It's, 1,200 words or whatever, because so much of it is just like, it's got these parts that you've seen before in this one new feature, and it's smaller, and what does it all mean? And it's been covering these Apple products has been challenging, and I also feel weird about it because I feel like there are lots of side stories that are really interesting. It's why the first thing I wrote was about the smart keyboard, because I felt like that was really interesting. And then the 9.7 inch itself, while I think going to be a popular product, I have a lot less to say about it in particular. And I feel like that with the iPhone SE, it was a little bit like that too. I don't know about you. I've got a little list of, story ideas, things I want to write about.
Yep.
And writing this review has been killing me in part because I feel like there are all these other really interesting side stories I want to write about that are not just the review of the product, but I feel like I need to get the review of the product out first. So I'm relieved that I'm going to put that out there in the world and be like, here's this. And then I can dive into some of the other really interesting side stuff that came out of all that stuff that Apple announced a couple weeks ago.
Yeah, I mean, I felt your pain a little bit with the review I put up on Monday of the Echo Dot, which is also similar to the SE and the iPad Pros. It's a smaller version of the same thing. I was like, all right, well, I'll talk a little bit about what's different and where I think that's sort of going. But yeah, other than that, there's not much. I actually have a question for you.
Yes.
And this is more of a general iPad Pro question as someone who doesn't use the iPad Pro and has never really been interested in the Apple Pencil. I found myself the other night thinking like, I was working on some notes for a book, and I recently discovered that jotting stuff down in a notebook, even though I have terrible handwriting, actually helps me be a little more freeform in my thinking. Some of that came from some tips from our friend Anthony Johnson, who uses that sort of process. And I thought to myself, man, be nice if I could capture these in some way that wasn't just having them on a piece of paper. Man, you know what? Maybe if I had like a stylus on my iPad and I realized, crap, I kind of want an Apple Pencil now. So here's the thing that is kind of an issue for me, which is I've never been a great artist. My doodles are pretty terrible. I don't I don't draw at all. But, and my handwriting is also terrible. So that's also kind of a problem. But my question for you is it weird that there isn't really any support for, like, handwriting, quote-unquote, recognition, I guess, handwriting recognition on the iPad? As, you know, Apple has done this before, right, with the Newton, and they've long had a sort of secret, semi-secret system in OS X called Inkwell, or
yeah.
Ink, that lets you do that on a graphics tablet.
Yeah, it does ink, but not well.
Yeah.
Oh, zing, Inkwell, I got you, 1990s technology, boom!
Inkwell burn! And so my question for you is it weird that Apple has added this, you know, gone out and added a stylus, which is something Steve Jobs is vehemently against, and yet never really done any handwriting recognition stuff?
Yeah. Well, first off, I guess I would say I don't think Jobs was vehemently against styluses. I think he was against styluses being required, right? That was the
sure.
that
okay.
was the thing. It's like, if you need to have a stylus to do
styluses.
Things. I think the difference is the third-party app environment, where Apple doesn't... Apple could provide a keyboard like they do with some of the Asian languages that are sort of stroke based, that they you can use your finger, or you can, I think, use the pencil to do some of those characters. They could provide something like that to, like, write characters out, but instead it seems like it's the famous third-party opportunity. I think there's there may be a keyboard extension out there that lets you write words and it recognizes them.
Yeah.
But also, most of the note-taking apps out there support Apple Pencil, and they do handwriting recognition for indexing purposes. So if you open OneNote, or I think Evernote, and there are a bunch of others too that have different ways of doing text input, they're working in the background to index that, to try and recognize your handwriting. And in Evernote's case, I tried it out a lot, and I have terrible handwriting. And it turned out what they were doing is indexing not just the word that you... Well, so it sees my chicken scratch, right? And it's like, what word is that? And it has like five things that it thinks it might be. It just puts all five of them in its index because you know what you're searching for. And
right,
it doesn't
right.
know what you wrote. And I found that it worked surprisingly well. Like, even with my terrible handwriting, I took a page of notes and then I typed a word that I had put somewhere in the page, and it highlighted it. And I was like, yeah, that's it. It found it. So I think that maybe that's the answer, is that these note-taking apps are handling handwriting stuff in their own way. And it's not at a system level. The only catch would be, like, if you wanted to handwrite an email, but that seems weird to me.
Well, or if you want to take notes and using, like, Notes, for example, like that's not supported, right? You could scribble something as a drawing in Notes.
Yeah, Notes is basically a drawing tool at this point. Yeah, if you wanted it to be something that was, like, searchable, and I don't think it's, like, convertible to text from most of these apps. It's more like you can find it later, which I think is the use case. Is you take pages and pages of notes, and then you need to find something later, and you search for it. Not that it gets transformed, because then there's a lot of overhead, right? Where you're like, no, it wasn't that word, and you do the little Newton thing and you scratch it out, and then you try it again and hope that it gets it. And it seems like most software, they've just decided, show what was written, index your best guess in the background, don't try to convert it all to text, because you'll do a bad job, because handwriting is weird.
Yeah, I can't help but wonder if there might be some point in the future at which Apple decides that some sort of handwriting system should be at least baked in around the system level, or accessible to developers via an API. I mean, Microsoft has done some similar stuff, and they just, I think, talked at the Build conference the other week about improving that throughout Windows 10 and making it very easy for third-party developers to sort of take advantage of some handwriting recognition technology. And they showed off some other cool stuff too, with, like, drawing on things and having it mapped to 3D surfaces and stuff like that. So I'm just curious, because I can see what the Apple Pencil is intended to be, you know, and, like, the stuff that they've showed off with it. But sometimes it feels a little not all there yet, or very niche for its utility. And I'm kind of curious to know if that's something that they will tease out a little bit further. Mm. And I think it could be. It doesn't have to be. I mean, you're right. The third-party opportunity is pretty rich. And it, certainly there have been any number of third-party styluses. I have a Cosmonaut, which I like, but it's not suitable for handwriting on an iPad. And the pencil seems to be much better as far as precision goes. So, you know, I'm kind of interested in that sense, but I'm also not sure that I want to make, you know, right now make the jump to A, having to buy a pencil, and B, having to buy an iPad that it works with, because that's the real sort of sticker. So I'm it's something I just found myself thinking and wondering if that might be an interesting workflow for me. But it sounds like maybe not quite yet. But
so
maybe there's some third party opportunities.
There's a thing called MyScript, and they have two apps, Stylus and Stack, and they are they're keyboards that are handwriting spaces, and they convert to text. So if you want to have the Newton kind of experience, that would be worth checking out. Because then you can switch to the script keyboard if you want to like directly use a pencil to input into mail or notes or something as, you know, copy and pasteable regular text. But I feel like that gets away. I mean, to answer your original question, I feel like that gets away from what you were saying originally, which I feel this too, as somebody who's legendarily, I think now, sort of anti-handwriting, and because I'm so bad at it. The thing I always loved about taking notes, and I still like about taking notes on paper, is, you know, writing words off on the side and circling them and drawing lines and arrows and stuff like that. And so in that context, having something like OneNote or Evernote that is going to index what you're doing so you can find, like, what page did I write about that? You know, you can do a search and find it, but that otherwise it's basically just being a piece of paper. It's not, not trying to get it into an email. I just want to have this sheet with my ink on it.
Because in that sense, there are apps that let you do things like, you know, brainstorming apps and stuff like that, right? But it's so fiddly.
Exactly.
Like, you want to put down a circle. It's like, create a circle, drag it to the right side, rearrange it. It's like, no, that you've totally taken me out of the moment.
It's all overhead instead of the creativity. Yeah.
So I feel like that's an interesting idea. I wonder if Apple might beef up. The Notes app has seen such impressive improvements in iOS 9. I wonder if they might continue to beef it up further with some of those Evernote/OneNote type capabilities. I would be interested.
I think that's a great idea. In fact, given how much they've done to Notes lately, maybe that's an iOS 10 kind of thing where now you can use your Apple Pencil to take notes and we convert it to text and index it in the background. And maybe even if they feel good enough about it, maybe you can even like... there's a share sheet and you can copy the text out of it and it actually does their handwriting recognition in the background and gives you their best guess about what the text was. I'm dubious of that only because I think the results aren't, even the best handwriting recognition systems aren't good enough for Apple's purposes to do that. But maybe it's possible. But certainly if they could do things like indexing them so you could search your notes and it would, you wouldn't see the text index that's behind them, but it would call them up. That would be pretty cool. So, yeah, I think so. I that's the thing that I like the most about the pencil, because I'm not somebody who draws things, is this idea that I can just call up a blank sheet of paper and doodle, you know, not just pictures, but like brainstorming, connecting things together and being able to refer to that or, you know, store it somewhere so I can get to it later.
Yeah, no, I agree.
So Echo, did you have anything about the Echo Dot? I mean, it is just like they cut the good speakers out of the Echo.
Yeah, and they added the ability to use third-party speakers. And I know we had talked previously, I think, about your desire for a Sonos integration.
Yeah, somebody tweeted at us this week about how he attached an Echo Dot to the Sonos Play 5, and it was great. And the problem is it's not great because you can't control the Sonos stuff from the Echo. So it basically turns your Sonos speaker into a dumb speaker whenever the Echo is using it. It's better than nothing, but it doesn't unify... You know, you still have to pull out your phone and load the Sonos app in order to play music that is on like Apple Music, Echo doesn't support.
I tried to do something clever/dumb last night, which was pair the Echo with, it's listening when I do that. So I have to say, go away, go to sleep. Try to pair it with my iMac. So my iMac is hooked up to a really nice pair of computer speakers, and that's when I'm listening to music while working. That's usually what I'm doing. And I wondered if I could use those as the output device for the Echo. The answer is no. You can't do that. It recognizes it as an input source, but not as an output source. But I was sitting there thinking, well, then I could actually like tell it to play music, and it would come out of the good speakers that are in this room already without having to physically connect it to those. And so that sadly that did not work. I guess it probably matters. It's probably based on Bluetooth profiles is my guess. And then the iMac is not by default set up to be like, hey, I'm a Bluetooth speaker. So yeah, I'm kind of struggling with what the right answer is. And I'm not really sure I figured it. Like, I think this is a good product for people who want an entry into the ecosystem and already have some speakers they can connect it to. And the internal speaker is totally fine as long as you don't really want to listen to music, honestly.
Right.
Like, it's tinny. It has no bass. It's not something you want to listen to music on. Even podcasts, I feel like it's kind of like listening to my shower radio. It's fine, but it's not like the preferred listening experience is when I'm sitting in front of a computer with good speakers on it.
Right.
But at the same time, you know, it is kind of nifty, and it might be an interesting entry point. And I think the part that interests me the most, which I wrote about a little bit in the review, is I'm kind of curious as to how Amazon envisions this future where you have multiple of these devices in your home. Because when I first saw the original commercial for it, I'm like, well, this seems dumb. It's a thing that you plug in some in one place and it's only in that place, right? So like, what if you're in a house and you want to use it somewhere else? And you have in a house that's, say, bigger than mine or perhaps even bigger than yours, because I feel like yours seems like you could cover most of your house or at least the communal areas with one Echo. And the problem is it's not really very smart about like having multiple things. If I had them on the same wake word and I made a query and a place there they could both hear me, they would both answer. And for a while they did it in creepy synchronicity. And then it got offset, and I'm like, this is even worse because it starts on one and then, like, you know, the other one comes in and offset, and you're like, ah! So the only answer was to set them to use different wake words, which is a little silly because now I have to remember which one to use depending on where I am. And so my question is, why? Because in the end, you know, most of what Alexa does is a cloud service, and the nice thing about the Dot is that when you hook it up, if you are already an Echo user, it has all of your existing skills on it, basically, like because that's all controlled by your account profile. So I could use all my IFTTT like, you know, workflows and everything without having to do a thing. Like it just automatically knew what all those were, which is great. I don't have to spend time setting anything up. But it would be nice if they worked more in concert and it was like, oh, we now have 14 microphones essentially between your two rooms. Can we work sort of like, you know, multiple Wi-Fi base stations and sort of, you know, use that to improve our ability to listen? But, you know, that's kind of a cut above, I think, what Amazon is ready to do right now.
Yeah, well, it takes extra software work that I would expect that they are going to do.
Sure.
And it's like the stuff that Sonos has and the stuff that some other whole home audio have. So one of the issues is you got to sync the audio. So if you've got multiple devices capable of playing audio, if you ask to play music in the house, it needs to get that in sync, which can be tricky because they've got to, if it's out of sync by more than, you know, whatever it is, 20 milliseconds or something, there's the moment at which your brain like goes, whoa, that's totally messed up and it can't process it anymore. And then they have the added problem of having multiple devices that are being talked to. So, but again, I feel like that there's software, right? There's a way for it to detect, okay, both of my devices, let's say, are receiving this message. It's basically the same message. This one has a higher quality. I'm going to throw out the other one and I'm going to use this one. It feels like they could do that. There are ways for them to do that. And I'm sure they will, but you know, when you got a brand new product, right? Having to deal with multiple products in the house is not your first thing. You want to sell one product in. But now that they've got multiple products like this, and you only can get the one by ordering it through the other, right? They made it so it's almost like you have to have this as a second one in your house, that it suddenly becomes like an issue that they need to talk to each other. And I would be surprised if there was not an update in the next few weeks, maybe, or months, certainly, for them to, you know, interact in some way, whether it's just, you know, discarding the listening of the one that is, you know, that is further away from you, or whether it's even like audio sync for playback and stuff like that. Yeah. So you can tell your friend, the robot, to play some song in the whole house and have it do that.
Right, exactly. And I mean, I can see why if you have become a big fan of the device and say you have one in your kitchen or your living room, you might want one in a different room in your house that's like, you know, far enough away that using the original one just isn't plausible. Like, I think that's totally makes sense to me. Like, and it makes sense to use a smaller one maybe in those other situations. But yeah, I agree with you. I think that they're going to have to come up with a, they're going to have to come up with some sort of system that makes it super compelling to have more than one of these. Right now that doesn't exist, but I think you're right that it will, because this seems to be, I think this was some, you know, this is somewhat of a surprise hit for them, right? Like, I don't think they expected it to do quite this well. At least critically, I have no idea what the sales numbers are like, but like the response of it is very good. So I think they're they've done a good job so far, sort of rolling with the punches and being like, oh, what else can we make this thing do? And so I think now that they're getting to a point where people will have multiple ones potentially in their house, they have to think, well, how should that act? What should that look like?
Yeah, they'll get there. They'll get there. I mean, we were just talking on Clockwise about the Kindle too. Amazon is funny because, you know, they've had some failures like the Fire Phone, but you know, I bought the first gen Kindle and returned it, but then I bought the second gen Kindle and kept it, and the third gen, and the fourth gen, and then the Paperwhite, and then the Voyage. So mm-hmm. I'm kind of on the Kindle train, and I love reading, you know, text on the Kindle, because I think it's just a superior screen. It's the reflective screen. And we were talking on Clockwise this week to Clayton Morris, who said that he took the iPad Pro to the pool and read on it, and it was fine. It's like, I took my iPad Pro outside, the 9.7, into the sunlight to read, and it was not fine. I didn't want to contradict our guest, because Clockwise, you know, we timed that thing down to the second, but it was not fine. It was just a decidedly inferior experience. And I totally understand if you don't want to, you don't care enough to buy this other product. It's not worth it to you to do that. I totally understand that it's a niche product for sure. But I do love them. And so Jeff Bezos coming out and saying, yeah, we're going to have a new one next week. I am intrigued by it. But as we talked about on Clockwise, I'm not entirely sure what goes in there. It's fascinating, though, that Amazon is a company that just, you know, they're like Google. Let's do some math. They're like Google minus Apple. Like, Google does products and also weird stuff. Apple does products and doesn't really do weird stuff. Amazon kind of only does weird stuff. Like, and some of it ends
some
up being
of which are
great
products. Yeah,
yeah, but it's like, we'll try it. Right? Like, let's just do it and we'll see what happens. Like the Echo, which ended up being a hit. And the Kindle, I feel like, you know, that is, if you want that kind of product, that's the product. That's the best product for that. Wirecutter just did a story where, you know, and it's like, and I'm talking to Scott McNulty, it's the same thing. It's like, really, the Kindle is the e-ink reader. If you're going to buy one, yeah, that's the one to buy. They're doing the work in this category that's not particularly hot. Well, but I don't know where they, I mean, can you have a product that is just too perfect, and then can you mess it up if you try to improve it and it's already
it's
fine?
Too beautiful to live. I mean, I think your point is, and this is the weird thing, right? Like, you look at Apple and you're like, okay, I can understand why they make products, right? I can understand why they make all of these and how these end up being contributing to their overall ethos and bottom line, right? Like, you buy an iPhone, you buy a Mac, you know, this makes sense. You look at on the other side in Google, it's like, well, they give away a lot of stuff, but I can understand that this sort of supports their underlying platform of like ads, right? Like, that's kind of what everything feeds back into in one way or another. Amazon, you look at them and you're like, I guess their general model is selling stuff like content or just even physical things, right? Retail. And I guess that kind of makes sense when it comes to like the Kindle or even like the Fire tablet or the Fire TV. Is like, all right, they're selling you on products. The Echo has always been weird because it doesn't really directly sell you on anything else. It integrates with all the services that they have, and their ecosystem is super weird because it's, I don't feel like it's an ecosystem that a lot of people subscribe to, because it's very limited in terms of what it does.
Yeah.
I mean, you look at Apple's ecosystem or Google's ecosystem, and it's like, there's all these services, there's all this stuff designed to keep you in their ecosystem, even if you're using different platforms or other, you know, different software or what have you. Amazon's kind of weird because they kind of pick and choose, and it's very patchwork, right?
And their international reach is terrible, too. We should say that. Like, the Echo is U.S. only. It's not even, like, English only. It's U.S. only, right? And a lot of the Amazon services are very limited. They don't have... I mean, Google does a better job than Amazon. Apple probably does the best job in terms of worldwide. Traditionally, Apple has been further out there. But even Apple's got limitations. Google's got limitations. But Amazon is just not even close. Like, they are just focused on trying stuff out in the U.S., as far as I can tell.
Right. And if their model is buying stuff, I've literally only bought one thing via the Echo, and that was the Dot. Because, as you said,
yes,
you more or less needed to. There is a workaround. But you more or less needed to when it was first going on order. So... that's not, it's not making me buy anything else from Amazon, right? Like, I'm not giving Amazon any more money because of that device.
Right.
So,
well, I did.
How does that
I
work?
Did because I signed up for the Amazon music library so I could have access to my entire music library.
I thought about it and didn't. So, yeah. But I understand
that.
But it's a service, right? Like, it's not even like, you know, so much of it works with, if you're already a Prime subscriber, you get access to so much stuff via like the Prime Music library and things like that, that, you know, I felt like, oh, that pretty much covers, you know, most of what I want to do. And most of it is not, you know, you can use it to buy things like just from Amazon. You can tell it to reorder stuff, you know, for example. I never do that. I've never done that. I don't know that I will ever do that. and so I just, yeah, it's weird because I think it's, even if you do go out and you subscribe to a service, as you said, it's not like you're constantly giving them more money, right? You signed up for one additional service. It's not like a growth thing for them. So it doesn't seem to quite jibe with what Amazon's all about. But I think the answer is no one, not even Amazon, is quite sure what Amazon's right. all about.
They're figuring it out, right? I mean, I think like you look at something like the Dash button and it's the same thing, mm-hmm. which is this thing where all it is a button. It's like a Wi-Fi button. And you get it for Tide or whatever, and when you run out of Tide, you press the button and more Tide shows up at your door. I'm serious. That's how it works.
Great. But what if you had like 20 of them? Like, that seems so weird.
They all have stickers on them. It's fine.
But, I know, but like, didn't you have like a cabinet that's just full of 20 different Dash buttons?
So this is the brilliant thing about one of the things I've been thinking about the Echo is it's a Dash button for anything in Amazon, and there are some limits to it, and it makes, but I do think that's one of the ways that they think that they're ultimately going is it will be easier for you as a Prime member, especially to say, you know, robot tower speaker lady, put this in my shopping cart, like we need more Neutrogena face soap, put it in my shopping cart or order that from Amazon. And over time, that might be, that might actually be something, not in the short run, but, I could see that being something where like when you want to buy something, you just tell the robot to buy it and it buys it. That sounds very Amazon-ish, right?
It does. I think my worry with that is always like, is it going to get just the right thing that I actually want?
Well, apparently it tells you like, here's what it is. And I think that maybe it even looks at your purchase history. So, because one of the things they want is for like things you've already bought, like you want to buy again, some consumable items. And I could see that like we always buy the filter packs for our the water filter on our refrigerator on Amazon.
Yep.
And it's only once every like 9 months, but we do buy them there. And I could totally see standing in the kitchen seeing the light is on and say, hey, robot lady, you know, can you reorder the water filter packs for the refrigerator? And if it's good enough to know what I mean and say, do you mean the blah, 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 blah that you last ordered on blah? And I can say, yes, order
sure.
that.
Yeah.
That would be pretty great, right? So I can see it's sort of, you're right, that's not enough for the Echo to exist, but I see why Amazon would want to try stuff like that.
Yeah, no, I agree. I think it does. It sort of contributes to that whole smart house idea too, right?
Yeah.
Like, and you know, they used to, what was it? They had things for a while where it's like scanning barcodes or taking pictures of things to reorder them, which I'm sure you can still do because Amazon, you know, for what it's worth, they do spend a lot of time trying to figure out how to make it easier for you to buy stuff.
That's but why they're here.
Yeah, yeah. And I think the Echo does make sense in that. In that way, it's just not a thing that I see myself doing right now.
Right.
But yeah, I can see how I can see how it might be useful.
Well,
so.
I just had this happen where my son wanted to buy the new Lego Marvel Avengers game for Xbox. And I opened my iPad and I searched on it. I went to the Amazon website and I found it and I placed an order. And then I thought, you know, I bet I could have ordered that from the Echo, and I just didn't bother. And I think there's some comfort in like all the information a web page provides, and you can compare the price to price of another object. And that these voice interfaces are not good enough to do all of that yet, but perhaps someday they will. But
of course, then the real danger is that your son will just realize that the shortcut is just ordering all this stuff himself via the robot lady.
Yeah, you can have a code, so that there is that.
It reminds me of the story of my cousin coming in to find her daughter eating all these cookies. And she's like, you know, you should really ask if you want to have a cookie. And she takes out the cookie. She says, I did ask. And she goes back to eating it. And her mom's like, well, I'm the only one here. Who'd you ask? The microwave.
Yeah, didn't say
no. Microwave never says no, man. Never. You know, yeah. You want cookies, the microwave is like, go for it. So yeah. Same thing with Robot Tower Lady. She will let you order those cookies or that game that you want.
Wow. All right, well, have a good trip to Seattle.
Thanks. I will. I'll report back.
Thank you. That's right. Thanks to everybody out there for supporting Six Colors. We appreciate it. You keep the lights on for us, so thank you so much. And we'll talk to you next week. Bye, Dan.
Bye, Jason.